This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
God, Father, we just know you as our Father, that you've sent your Son to redeem us and to reconcile with us. Father, just to cleanse us of our sins and our transgressions. Father, thank you that you saw it fit that we might partake in your plan, Father, to bring the good news, Father, to those, Father, of the world, Father, that you call to, Father, that you love, Father. Thank you, Father, that you equip us, Father, that we are not ill-equipped, Father, but the Helper has come and the Holy Spirit just abides in us. And thank you that what we do to the honor of your name and not by anything of a self-righteous or of a proud heart, Father. Thank you, Father, that you're so good to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good evening. Hello. Here we are on Facebook, so I really have to activate my account again so I can see what the people say afterwards. So those of you who don't know me, my name is Rowan Mokke, as it said there on the screen, obviously. I didn't do that. That was Marika. Thank you, Marika. It looks beautiful. Not my wife, Marika. My wife, Marika, is beautiful. Eh? But anyway. So we busy with this with a sermon series called Extreme Makeover, or Complete Makeover, sorry. It was initially communicated Extreme Makeover, so it is Complete Makeover. So Carl, I don't know if he spoke in the evening service last week, but in the morning service he spoke regarding new life. And yeah. All the pastors are away, and that is why I'm standing here. So I'm not a pastor, as you will hear from the grammar and all the faults. All right. So as the topic for this evening is called New Desires. It's always interesting, you know, if you know, sometimes the Lord is busy with you in a certain part of your life, and then, you know, when you go through a serious sermon series like this, then you have a specific topic, you can't but filter that kind of into this. So Tiu spoke this morning about exactly the same topic, and I don't know if it's going to be anything like Tiu's one, so we'll compare it maybe later on. All right, so new desires. So as we grow up, our desires change. You know, I remember being very young, and I had this desire to be a skaapwachter, eh? A shepherd, you know. Obviously, it wouldn't have worked now in retrospect, you know, I burn quite easily, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, I had this desire to be this skaapwachter. And then, obviously, then you go to school, and, you know, things happen, you know, you're playing sports, and I thought, yeah, I want to be the best sportsman, you know, that the world has ever seen. No, yeah, but anyway, and then, you know, as life goes on, you get a bit older, then you really desire a car with a V8 engine, eh? Do one? But yes, you know, and so as you grow, your desires change. You know, now I just desire that my wife will desire a car with a V8 engine. anyway, so yes, she might be listening on Facebook. Anyway, so, all right, new desires. So, the first question we need to ask is, what desires are reigning in your heart? And this is one of those questions, you know, that can have a very type of airy-fairy or a type of an answer that, you know, is by the book. But, you know, if you really think about it, what is this thing that you think of when you wake up in the morning? What is that thing? What do you think of when you are busy making plans for your future? What are those desires? What do you plan when you're on your way to work? Or what do you daydream about? What are those things? What are those things you daydream about? So a lot of us have certain basic, you know, they talk about the basic necessities. And part of that basic necessity is to feel secured, secure. A lot of us just want to be loved. You know, as we have this desire to be loved. And or respected by people or by a specific person. Some of us want a boyfriend, not me obviously. Some of us want our boyfriends to respect us. Or our boss. Or our parents. So we have these desires in us. And then, you know, with that, there's this self-worth we think of. You know, we think of, you know, basically I just summarized it as things that make our lives easier. We daydream of things that make our lives easier. Winning the lotto. Weighing 5 kilograms less. And so what do you daydream about? What do you think of when you think, what do I want in the future? What will make my life easier? And you know, it's actually such a conflicting thing in our hearts. This yearning for love and this desire to have an easy life. You know, it's, Christ just forms us. You know, he's busy forming us into the likeness of Christ, he himself. Because it's perfect. Because you can't think that God is a perfect God if he wants to mold us into something that's not perfect. And Christ is the only thing that is perfect. So Christ is molding us into this perfect image of him. But then sometimes this image isn't exactly what you want now. You may be in a situation where you think, yeah, but I desire to be somewhere else. I desire to be with someone. Not someone else, maybe. But you know, I have this desire, I'm not being fulfilled where I'm currently at. And you know, the thing is that then sometimes we think, God, just give me this. Or sometimes you think, when God says, do this, and you think, or you read in the Word, do this, and you just think to myself, yeah, but maybe... if God just leaves me alone, just for a moment, I just want to complete this task. And the issue with that is that when you ask God to leave you alone, it doesn't mean what you're actually asking him is to love you less. Because how can God, who is perfect, let you be something that is not perfect? How can he give a stamp of approval on things that will make you fall away from him? So this desire for easy life is sometimes contradicting in with the fact that we want to be loved. And we were born and we were made to react to love. And it's so funny that sometimes we ask to be loved less. Let's read a bit of scripture. I started off heavy there, didn't I? James chapter 4. So James is quite heavy. James is one of the first books of the New Testament that was written. You know, there were people that were, you know, they were eating solid food. So James sometimes is quite harsh. All right. In modern times, you know, in modern thought patterns. But he always speaks the truth, obviously. So we need to see what he has said. All right. Applications. Open James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that are at war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says it in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil and flee from you, and draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Like I said, James is quite direct and to the point. And it's actually so amazing. You know, we don't have time to go through everything. This first 10 verses are so rich, but we are just going to go over it briefly. But the thing that it starts off with is James asks, where do wars and fights come from among you? Think about it. What angers you on Facebook or Instagram? What causes strife in your relationships? What causes you to bicker among one another? What annoys you? James says it's the reason for it, the origin of it, comes from within you. It's because your desires is not aligned with the desires of the person you're having strife with. It's your desire within you that's causing this division. This division, as we hear in Bible school, is two visions. Two separate visions. So you quarrel with your loved one over what you want for dinner because you desire the steak, and they might be vegan. See, I made my sermon more for the young working, you know, Generation Z, or what is it? I'm still a millennial. But you desire something. There's a desire for something in you. And you know, the word for it is, you know, I had the sermon a while back about honor, and honor means to make heavy. It means to not take it lightly. And there's certain things in your life that you do not take lightly. And you must understand, I'm not telling you that all desires are bad. Not at all. I'm saying that there are a lot of desires that are really, really good. But the issue is when desires don't complement, or there's no accord between the desires, then it causes strife. God created us with this desire to seek Him. You know, when the Holy Spirit was breathed, the breath of life was blown into the nostrils of Adam. That was the truth. That was the Spirit of truth just being sent into our nostrils. We were seeking. We are seeking. We have this desire, this reconciliation we need after the fall. We're just seeking this truth. How many friends do you have that are they're traveling the whole world because they're seeking something. They're looking for something. And people are leaving the faith because they are seeking the truth, but truth has never been taught to them. So they think, but I've been in this situation, I've been in this group, this religious organization, or I've been in this school of thought, and there's something in me that says, but there's more truth. But the first knee-jerk reaction they have is that, okay, I'm not finding it here, so it must be somewhere else. So we have this desire. We were made for desires. I'm going off topic very badly there. Anyway. So my question is, are your good desires corrupt? James asks, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Everybody's very quickly to quote scripture where it says, where two of you agree, that will be given to you. But we need to agree in what the Lord desires. We need to agree in that what pleases the Lord. And by saying this again, I just want to reiterate that God knows your desires. In Hebrews 4 verse 12, He says that. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows your desires. He knows you want to be great for Him. He knows you want to be the best lawyer you can be. He knows you want to be the best mother you can be. He knows you want to be the best draftsman you can be. He knows you want to be appreciated. He knows you want to be loved. He knows you want to be respected. He knows this. He knows your heart. And the amazing thing to me always is that God knows my heart and He still chooses me. He doesn't know only my actions. Because one tries to be uncompromisingly righteous in your deeds. But your thoughts sometimes and your heart sometimes, you know, there's such a battle. But luckily, He wears the crown of victory. Amen. Not the end of the sermon. So what corrupts good desires? When good desires become your primary desires. When you read James 4, and you read the things he says regarding desires, all I see is turbulence. I see unrest. When your desires are primary desires, it causes unrest. You're haunted the whole time. You cannot find peace. You feel you need to escape somewhere the whole time. You're not happy where you are. You're struggling to find peace. You're struggling to become still. Because your desires create turbulence. When we feel we are not appreciated, we work less. When we feel we are not appreciated, we love less. When we feel we aren't appreciated, we talk badly. When we feel we aren't appreciated, we start holding grudges. It causes turbulence in your soul. You struggle to find that peace. When you open the book of the Lord, nothing happens. You're struggling to find this intimacy with God because there's unrest in your soul. And then there are those things that you feel you need. And I always call it the obstacle versus object need. You know, when you get to a place and you have this desire, this primary desire to attain something or to hold something or to have something, people become either objects or obstacles. Either they are an obstacle in your way for you to acquire that which you desire. Meaning they are in your position. Or they are withholding you to get into the position you want to be. You have strife. You have discord. Because your desire is blocked. The attainment of your desire is blocked by this person. He becomes or she becomes an obstacle. Or they become an object. They either become the object of your desire, or they become the object of how to attain your desire. You start using people either as an object or an obstacle. When you think of, when you daydream, when you wake up in the morning, and you have this desire, do you think of somebody that's in your way? Institutions that are in your way? Traditions that are in your way? When we become focused on when our desires become our primary desires, there's unrest. Everybody okay? You know, the thing is, it's important for me, and it's difficult. Some of you may know, but it's difficult not my wife can't be my primary desire, because I will be, what's the right English word now? I will be dangerous. It will be dangerous. Because it's a very humanistic way of thinking, because then I will only give her what she wants and withhold that what she doesn't want. So when she wants ice cream 11 o'clock at night, every night, except weekends, because then she wants chocolate mousse. Fulfilling that desire continually has effects, has consequences. So by making the Lord your primary desire, you do that which is good. Because the Lord is the only one that is good. Sorry to say, but your boyfriend isn't. Or your girlfriend. Or you. Or me. You're not good. When should we finish? All right. How do you submit these desires? First thing is acknowledgement. You know, us men, it's difficult. I've said it many times. You know, sometimes I need to tell my wife something about how I feel. But then I need to go sit and quantify, but what is it? What do I feel? What is this emotion? You know, in what category does it fall? Because it doesn't come naturally. Or you sometimes just think you have a faint idea, or you have an idea, but it's actually quite faint. Dissect your heart. Dissect your heart. Be honest. Go sit down, write it down. What do you desire? And don't put something holier than thou there, even though you think you are holier than thou. Because I promise you, if you have, and I'm not saying you have it chronically, but if there's unrest, if there's turbulence within you, there's a desire being affected. Write down, I need to be loved. You might be single and you've been through a lot of stuff in your life. Write it down. I need to be loved. God knows it. God knows it. Write down, I need to be appreciated, if that's the case. When you're at work and there's strife, what is it? And then there's acknowledgement. You need to acknowledge that ultimately those desires will quench your relationship with God. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Facing the Giants. I think this is the movie. It's a long story. It's a Christian movie. And at one stage, he's the coach of this football team, and him and his wife, they go to the doctor, and you know, because they're struggling to get pregnant. And this is one of those things, you know, that stays with me, that has stayed with me for almost a decade now. The doctor told her that she won't be able to conceive. She won't be able to have children. And it broke her. I know it's just a movie. It can be real. But it broke her. It completely broke her. She left crying, running to the car. And her husband consoles her. And then he asks her something which I thought was super brave. But which I now know was a double-edged sword. And he asked her, will you still love God, even if he doesn't do this thing for you? Her primary desire, this thing that she thinks of when she wakes up at night, in the morning, she probably wakes up at night thinking of it as well, this primary desire, has been taken from her, and she's broken. And she looks at her husband wailing, and she says, yes. Yes, I will still love the Lord Most High, even if I do not get my primary desire. And that is maturity. That is deep, and that is raw. And that is not a holier-than-thou answer. That came from my heart. So what I'm telling you tonight is that in the movie, if I recall correctly, they did get children. It's not always like that. But it happened. But what I'm telling you tonight is that the Lord knows your desires. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Remember, if you are scared that you will not receive your desires, you actually want the Lord to love you less. And frankly, He's not going to do that. He's going to love you more and more and more. He's going to love you. He's going to overwhelm you with His love. He's going to love you until He becomes your primary desire. His love is furious. Do we have some music to play? Second Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. For the love of Christ compels us. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, after their own desires, after their own pleasures, after their own feelings, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Because of the love of Christ, we live for Him. Let's stand. God knows your heart. He's a discerner of your hearts. But God's plan is greater than those desires you may have, even the good desires you have. And by greater, I don't mean with, in essence, only larger. What I mean greater is I mean more pure, more filled with His love, a higher fulfillment of that which you desire. God loves you. He called you by your name long before you ever knew Him. God has grace. God has grace. When you dissect your heart and you see what is in there, even if it's good, and you're making it your primary desire, you're being dangerous to that person or that event. But God has grace. Let's close our eyes. Father God, you know, Father, that which is within us, Father. Father, you've called us, you've saved us when we were your enemies, when we were against you. When our life's purpose was to be without you, Father, you loved us. And you love us now, Father, and it's your love that leads us to repentance, Father. And Father, I ask you, Father, to just dissect our hearts and open up and just show to us those things, Father, that are quenching our intimacy with you, Father. Thank you, Father. This is not a holier-than-thou thought, Father, or this is not a something, Father, we can just say and do and make the right sounds, Father. But thank you, Father, that this is something that dissects our hearts, Father. It is real, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are tender with us and you work gently with us. You will not break a bent reed. Father, some of us have a lot of unrest in us. There's turmoil and turbulence. We do not find peace. We do not find intimacy with you. We read and we read and we read, but there's something blocks us, Father. Father, I ask you to just open the eyes of our heart, Father. Father, help us to recognize, Father, those things, Father, that cause discord, Father. That cause division, Father. What desire of mine is so affected that I'm willing to fight with one of your sons and daughters? I want to pray tonight for anybody who doesn't know this Jesus Christ who I've spoken of, anybody who hasn't received Him, this Lord that came, that saw it fit to die for us when we were casting stones, when we were insulting, and when we were fighting with Him. I want to pray for you tonight. I also want to pray for those who find that there's unrest in their hearts, who've looked in their hearts and they found something that's hurting. I want to pray for you tonight. Please come forward. I want to pray for those who feel that there's desires you're not willing to play the second fiddle for. I've been in a place where I've prayed, Lord, give me the desire to desire, because it just wasn't there. And I want to pray that prayer for you. Thank you, Father God, that you are just and that you are holy and that you know what we need, Father. Father, you know that what we desire, when we desire love, Father, let us not accept love of the world, Father, but let us accept your love which is pure, Father. Father, I pray for peace, not as the world gives peace, Father, but peace that surpasses all understanding for everybody that's listening here tonight, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are good beyond measure. That you are the only one that's good. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.